Grade 1 Conference, Lecture 6, The Four Temperaments, Part 2. Now let's have an overview of the four temperaments. I mentioned it's the etheric body trying to penetrate our physicality and struggling, challenged, and finally arriving with an artistic solution like Michelangelo, hammering away at the recalcitrant marble, finding within it the Pietà or the David. So this is how the etheric body works upon us. Let's go in a degree of order, the usual order that's given. The etheric body is able to successfully go as deeply as possible into the physical nature of the human being. That is to say, the etheric body meets the bones and awakens those bones and awakens itself in the process. So it penetrates our skeletal nature. Now, if this process arises too quickly, if there's no resistance given to that etheric penetration, we can have circumstances where a child's skeleton develops far too rapidly, you know, that where they're born already with a hardened, at least a partially hardened skeletal system, and we have something called osteogenesis imperfecta, an illness which used to be fatal because the bones start to break and cause hemorrhaging. Now it's definitely occurring often and somewhat often, and children survive it, and it's treatable. So when this happens, not in to the degree it becomes pathological, but where it is a normal process of the etheric body going as deeply as the skeletal system, out of this the melancholic temperament arises. Which is to say that the melancholic child is the most deeply incarnated of the four temperaments. And also because the etheric body is able to, relatively speaking, for the etheric body, awaken a little more in touching that actual substantiality of our physical nature, such a child will tend to be more awake, less dreamy than his or her peers in the classroom. If the etheric body cannot go quite as far as the skeletal system, as the minerals within us, if it stops at the next of the classic four elements, the watery part of our nature, there, in a way, we could say the etheric meets itself, you know. In the melancholic, it has met the physical nature of the human being. If it only goes as far as the watery part of our nature, which is a big part of us, 70, some would say even 80% of our weight is in liquid, then the etheric body brings forth a phlegmatic child. So in the phlegmatic child, the etheric forces, in a way, celebrate themselves. They meet themselves. And we can imagine this is very comforting and very harmonizing for the etheric body. And indeed, the behavior of the phlegmatic child does suggest a degree, for the most part, of inner harmony and certainly comfort. These things arise. And this, again, it's the etheric body telling us what it has met, and how it has managed to at least stir up the waters, if not meet the skeletal system in and of itself. So we have the phlegmatic child now, with the watery nature and the etheric body is going to be dominant. If the etheric body cannot penetrate as far as the skeletal, mineral, or the watery nature, then it stops at the airy nature of the human being. And here, of course, we are not only talking about the air that we breathe in and breathe out all the time, but also of the air that penetrates our blood system. You know, our whole circulatory system is intimately related to the breathing respiratory system that we have. So we certainly are touching liquid in an indirect way, but nonetheless, the air within us remains independent as well. Here we have the etheric body meeting the astral body. But as I've said, the astral body is still coming towards the child in grade 1, 2, and 3. Certainly in grade 1, only a relatively small percentage of the astral body has arrived at all. So here we can expect a consciousness that's probably going to be as much outside of the child as within. Here the etheric body is meeting an element with which it is not completely comfortable. So the sanguine temperament, which is the solution to the etheric body meeting the airy nature of the human being, meeting the element of air, the sanguine temperament is not going to be as stable, as predictable in a certain way, as the melancholic and as the phlegmatic. Here the etheric is, it's created a solution, but it's a solution like an arpeggio. It's a solution like a tremendously fast-moving dance of some kind or other. It's really going to keep us on our toes and keep that child literally on her toes as well. And then finally, we have the most difficult connection for the etheric body, where it cannot go into the density of the mineral part of the human being. It cannot penetrate the liquid, watery part of the human being. It cannot even penetrate the element of air. It remains, we could say, in the fire part of the human being, which is our warmth, our bodily warmth. And once again, the blood is connected with this. But actually, we are hottest, not in our heart, where the blood is so concentrated, where our greatest source of warmth is actually our spleen. It's really in our metabolic system that we find concentrations of warmth, real hot spots in a certain respect. But this is what is least within us. Our warmth is something that certainly penetrates us, but only when we have a fever do we really feel that that warmth has fully taken hold of us. Otherwise, the warmth is like a nimbus around us. So here the etheric body remains in certain respects further outside. And that child's consciousness then also is least of all the temperaments, least connected with its physical body, because the coarser elements of mineral, earth, as we say, water and air are untouched by the etheric body. So here we have, in contradistinction to the melancholic, who is the most incarnated in the choleric temperament, I'm sure you all expected me to say that, the choleric temperament, much to our surprise, and much to the contrary of many habits of thinking about cholerics and describing cholerics in the Waldorf setting, the choleric child is the least incarnated, most out of him or herself, most of the time. And that's because this is the best that the etheric can do. Here is a physical organization which often has already tremendous density, not the kind of rigidity and fixity of the skeletal system that you might find in the melancholic, which, as I said, can lead to a kind of pathological state, but rather a kind of mass, a kind of densification, a child whose physical body really lives very comfortably in the physical world to the degree that the etheric body can only touch its outermost nature, can sort of, we're speaking less here of sculpture and more of cosmetics in a way, though these are only, you know, turns of speech. So this is the challenge of the choleric temperament. How are we going to help that child incarnate? And we might imagine, well, maybe the melancholic has a role to play here. They're kind of experts on incarnation. Now, it's very interesting, when we look at the children, based on the descriptions I've just given, many things, yeah, sure, that's the way they look. But actually, especially with the first and the fourth temperament, it's a little bit counterintuitive, because the melancholic child is almost invariably thin, perhaps a little bit on the small side, though sometimes they shoot up and become a bit like bean poles, but usually thin, sometimes to the point of, you know, looking undernourished, often with bags under their eyes or a sallow look to the skin. They don't look really altogether that healthy, and you'd feel, wow, they're so delicate, and they're kind of, you know, just out there a bit. Actually, they're that delicate because so much energy has gone into the skeletal system that there is not a whole lot left over for the rest of the body. So they are really, this is what it is to live deeply in one's physical body. It's a kind of emaciation. It's a kind of asceticism in a certain way. The choleric, on the other hand, is usually sturdy, very healthy looking, you know, bright eyes, red cheeks, and so on, good appetite. they are ready to go. They're bold and active and so on. And one would feel, wow, that child is really living in his body, you know. How comfortable he is in the physical body. What we are actually seeing, my dear colleagues, is the physical body acting in and of itself, that child is hardly present at all. He's being carried along by the physical world, by the laws of the physical world. Steiner says our physical body, if left to itself, is completely perfect. We just keep messing it up all the time. So there's the perfection of the physical body that we see in the choleric child, but actually it's hardly related to that child. And this is where behavioral difficulties arise, especially those involving hitting, kicking, okay, sometimes biting, and so on, that the choleric insists, I didn't do it. I don't remember. I really, you know, she was standing next to me and she pushed against me and she says I punched her. You know, the physical body is just kind of doing all of this stuff, and we have to help that child take hold of his own physical body. So this is very interesting, that we have to be really seeing these children, seeing our children, all of the temperaments, in two ways. At once through our physical eyes and being able to describe them carefully and accurately. And I'm going to give you in the next lecture, you know, four kinds of templates to help us see these temperaments as they manifest physically. We've just begun a little bit in this light with these two temperaments. But also at the same moment to see the child through an etheric lens, to try to see the child etherically, and that will be, as Steiner describes, the etheric body is always the opposite, the inverse, the upside down negative of whatever was seen in the physical body. And we have to live in both worlds, or else if we're just stuck on the physical description of the child and their physical actions, we are perhaps understanding them for the moment, but we are not adding anything to their biography. We're not giving them a springboard, a trampoline, from which to jump on to the next step in life. That can only come out of their body of time, out of the etheric body. So we'll look at the temperaments now from a sort of morphological point of view, and I hope that this will be helpful to you, especially as the first weeks of school unfold.